So glad you're here. Hope your summer is going well. Well, let's open with the word of prayer, and then we're going to jump into our lesson this morning. I'm so happy you're here. Let's pray together. Our Father, we begin this morning by just directing our hearts and our minds to you this morning. I thank you for this time set aside where we can come to this beautiful room, sit around these tables, and gaze at your wonderful word of life. I pray this morning that you would stir us up, that you would speak to us, that you would bring transformation in our lives as we bring our heart to your word. And I thank you for your spirit that's in us. He's our power source. Oh, Holy Spirit, how we depend on you, because in our flesh dwells no good thing. We understand that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. We are so dependent on you. Would you fill us? Would you use us? Would you transform us? Would you grow us and mature us that we might be useful women in our generation? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are many reasons why I love being your Sunday school teacher. But this morning, I just want to share one of the reasons why. And here's one of the reasons why I love it. Because it makes me get in the Word of God every week. Because, you know, we live such busy lives, and busy can crowd out the Word of God. Isn't that right? Mothers, women are busy. We're busy people. And even when your children grow up, you have grandchildren, and you're busy people. And so I love being your teacher. It makes me every week get in the Word of God, and I am so blessed when I do. Now, I'm loving this series of lessons that we started last week. Previously, we did a series of lessons on having spiritual conversations. And now, I don't know what those lessons meant to you, but they deeply impacted me. And even made Bill listen to them. And so I'll say now, what are the four mindsets? And what are the three purposes? And what are the 10 pitfalls? And what are the four L's that are tips? And so I want us to start there this morning. And so around your table, I'm giving you a test, but you can talk to each other. Sandra, you got to move. You got to move to another table. Can you remember what are the four biblical mindsets that are behind having spiritual conversations? Now, I'm going to give you just a minute to see if you can remember. I want you to memorize these. I really want you to memorize these. What did you come up with? What was number one? Be curious. What was number two? Believe the best. What was number three? Show concern. But you don't want to just do those three things. You also must share your life. So put that down. Be curious, believe the best, show concern, and share your life. Then there were three purposes. We had a lesson on those four things, and then we had a lesson on these three things, the three purposes for having spiritual conversations. Let me just give those to you because I don't think you're going to remember them. But it's first of all, to be encouraging. You want to encourage others. And not only that, as a Christian woman, what we want to do is promote spiritual growth in one another. Right? So that's number two, promote spiritual growth. And then my favorite one that I'd never thought about before, one purpose for our spiritual conversations with each other is to inspire marvel or awe. But the word I want you to see is worship. Our conversations with each other should draw us into worshiping our God. But then we looked at those 10 pitfalls. I just put them on your handout. I want to remind you of them. These are things we want to avoid in our conversations. Criticizing, complaining, advice giving, self-absorption, divisiveness, flattery, manipulation, codependence, gossip, and arrogance. And then there were four tips, and they started with the letter L. The first one was let others speak. Don't just dominate the conversation. Don't just be giving a monologue. Pause. Let others speak too. And then the next one, listen. Listen to what someone is saying. And then limit distractions. We talked a lot about your cell phone. Limit distraction. And then this one was so important. Love with your face. Love with your face. Give eye contact. Give smiles. Give encouragement. Your face tells people so much. Now, I hope that those lessons inspired you. I love those lessons. But here's the deal. We want to take it deeper. We want our conversations to lead to sharing Christ in our worlds. And that brought us to last week's lesson and this whole new series that I'm calling Sent. That is the verb I want us to capitalize on. Because we are sent ones. This series of lessons are meant to help us think in a fresh way. Help us think in a new way about sharing our faith through our conversations. They're not designed to make you feel guilty. I don't want to make you feel guilty. I don't want to make you feel like you're a bad person if you're not sharing your faith more often. That's not what I'm wanting to do. I'm wanting to inspire you. I'm wanting to encourage you to hunger to do that more in your life. Instead, I want us to see ourselves as being on a supernatural adventure with Christ. It's something that is truly exciting, sharing your faith is. It's something that is to be enjoyed. It is a get-to, not a have-to. Do you see what I'm saying? I know... This is something I really want for myself personally. I want to be bolder. So, you know, I'm always teaching my Sunday school lessons to myself, and I'm just hoping you kind of have the same needs I do. But I can say this, looking back, just reflecting through the years when God has used me to speak a word or to share my faith or those things, that to me is the most exciting thing for God to put you in a place and use you, and it's just thrilling to my heart. It's absolutely thrilling. I've always said it's the biggest high you can have is being used of God. So last week we laid a foundation for our study, and I want to review with you what we said. And we looked last week at three core biblical principles, and that's what I want us to write down real quickly. The three core biblical principles of why you are to live a sent life. Here's the first one. And it was this. God is always at work. He's always at work around us. He's always drawing people to himself. And we had a whole lesson on this last week where we were laying a biblical foundation. We said because God is working, because God has placed eternity in the heart of man, because God is about drawing people to himself, and because the Holy Spirit is testifying about who Jesus is to others, and because the very nature of Jesus, the very reason he came, was to seek and to save those that were lost. When I understand that biblically, that means that I can approach conversations with other people boldly. And I can talk to people and have great expectation because God is working. The Spirit is drawing. And God is sending me. Now think about it with me this morning. Right now, at this very moment, June 22nd, it's my daughter's birthday today. What time is it? 9:59. Right now, Jesus is in the business of seeking and saving those who are lost. That is his primary work in the world. And the coolest thing about it is that God uses us. You and I become workers together with him. And that is principle number two that we saw last week. Let's jot that down. God uses people to lead others to Christ. That's right. I'm telling you this morning, the kingdom of God in some way depends on us being filled with his spirit and then obediently carrying out and obeying the great commission that was given to each one of us. It's not a holy suggestion. It is a commandment to go into the world and to share the gospel. And we discussed this last week. We said this, have you ever just had that nagging thought, God, yes, I know I'm saved. I know I am. And I love you, Lord. And I love you with all my heart. But now what? What is it you want me to do in my life? Why am I here? What is my purpose? And the Great Commission is our now what? You're to go into your world. You're to open up your mouth and speak the gospel in your world and be witnesses. The ministry of reconciliation has been committed to us. We are royal ambassadors to the world. And Jesus has chosen us, but not only chosen us for salvation, but he's appointed us that we go and bear fruit. This is who we are. And then there was one more core principle. This is review. God continually invites us into the work of evangelism. So God is at work all around us every day, and God uses ordinary people to accomplish his mission, his rescue mission, and to build a kingdom for himself. And it is a privilege, and it is a joy. Now, the Great Commission assures two things. I want to remind you of them. Jesus says there, all authority has been given unto me. And then he says at the end of the Great Commission, that's at the beginning, and at the end he says, lo, I am with you always. He has authority, and he is with me. And that gives me confidence. And this is our highest calling in our lives as Christian women. Everything else becomes secondary to this calling. Yeah, you have a job, but your real job is to be a witness. Yes, you're a mother, you're in your world, in your home, but your real job is to be a witness. Everything else should come under that. I want you to stretch your mind this morning and get challenged. God is continually inviting each one of us to live a sent life. And it's not about me. It's not, well, I'm just not an extrovert, Teresa. You don't understand. I'm shy. I don't do that sort of thing. I mean, I don't have the gift of evangelism like some people do. No. This is for everybody, no matter who you are. He's calling you. It's not about you. It's about his calling. It's about how great he is. It's about responding to an invitation that has been given to you to enter into building his kingdom. And it really just gives me butterflies to think about it. I really dream about it. I think about this all the time. God is sending people. God is sending us. God is sending you. God is sending me. Now today, I want to take our time this morning, and I want us to cultivate, stir up our want to, okay? Let me explain. For example, I've been studying the Bible now for years and years. I know the gospel backwards and forwards. I know many presentations of the gospel. I can sit down and share it. I can take you in the Bible. I have a very good grasp, a very good understanding on the how-to of sharing my faith. I have that down pat. I mean, I am a Sunday school teacher. You would expect the Sunday school teacher to be able to do that. I also have memorized the Great Commission. Have you? Can you say it? I greatly respect God's word. I know what I'm called to do. I know what I should be doing, but here's the thing. I'm afraid I just don't want to do it bad enough to actually do it as often as I should. Can you relate to that? I miss so many opportunities. Now, here's the truth. I know what I should be doing in my world, but I just don't want to a lot of times. In other words, I desire to share. I really do want to, but my desire isn't strong enough to overcome all the barriers to telling other people about Jesus boldly. So in today's lesson, I want to stir us up a little bit. I've been chewing on this lesson all week, and I don't really know how it's going to come out. Sometimes I feel it in my heart. I just can't put the words like I want them to be. But I want to cultivate this want to in our lives of sharing our faith. Now, is this something you're interested in this morning? Does this sound like something you need this morning? So I'm going to attempt to cultivate our want-tos, and to do that, we're going to look at two things. Let's write them down. Here's what we're going to look at in our lesson this morning. We're going to look at the greatness of Jesus and the gospel. That's one part of stirring up your want-to. And then we're going to look at the lostness of people apart from Christ. Because you and I need to deeply understand both of these. If I just focus on how great Jesus is and how wonderful the gospel is, that could just lead me to just celebrating every Sunday among just my little group of Christians how wonderful it is to be saved. And I'll just stay right there in my holy huddle. And I never get outside of it to share my faith. Likewise, if I just think about how lost the world is, I shared with you about Thailand last week. 96% or so Buddhist. Such a dark country. Millions of people. No witness there. If I let myself dwell on that, apart from Christ, it would lead me to despair. It would make me think, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. I'm just going to throw my hands up. I'm going to give up. The world is so lost. The world is so dark. It just feels overwhelming to me. But when I put it together, the greatness of God, the greatness of the gospel, the lostness of the world, when I put them together, they collide. And it stirs up my want to. And that's what I want us to do. Now, as we think of these two gospel convictions, the greatness of Jesus, the greatness of the gospel, the lostness of the world, these two convictions, they don't just instantly happen in your heart. It's something you have to cultivate in yourself. And that's what I want to do in our lesson this morning. So write some things down. How to stir up our want to. How to grow our want to. Number one, we have to understand this. It's a work both of God and of us. So it's going to require you to get very involved, and it's also going to be requiring the Holy Spirit. We're cooperating with the Holy Spirit. We're presenting ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We're asking Him to stir us up. And then He does. It's a supernatural work within us. Now, in and of ourselves, in our flesh, I can't cultivate this in myself apart from the Spirit of God. Now, let's get specific and write down another thing. We're going to do this by asking two questions this morning. And I put them on your handout. Here's the first question. Now, you listen to me read it. And you answer it in your mind, okay? Here's the first one. Do I really believe that the gospel is good news? Do I really believe that? And number two, do I really believe that every person is lost apart from Christ? That he is the only way. And unless they hear, they believe, they repent, they receive, they will be lost. Do I really believe that? Look at Romans 1 there. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why, Paul? Why are you not ashamed? Because I know something. I know it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew and the Gentile. Now, when God looks at the world, he sees the Jews and he sees the Gentiles. That's it. And then he says, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. It's a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now remember that verse, we're going to come back to it. Now look at me. I can promise you this morning, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. But to be honest, at times, I act like I am. I'm not proud of that. The truth is, I don't always think rightly about the gospel. The truth is, I don't always think of it as good news. Sometimes I treat it as if it's very uncomfortable news. If I tell you this, it's going to make you uncomfortable. If I tell you this, it's going to be a little awkward. If I tell you this, it might even seem a little weird. I need to come to the conviction that this gospel is the good news that the world so desperately needs to hear. I need that conviction. I need to come to the conviction that every person is lost apart from it. And apart from the gospel, every person will face the wrath of God. Now, what if I were to find a cancer cure, but I was afraid to tell anybody? I held the answer for cancer. But if I don't tell anybody, it can't help you. You can't get saved. You can't get cured. You see, sin is a real problem. The truth is, you and I are a lot worse than we think we are. I was told about a survey that was on the Ligonier website. And it was a long survey. It was a survey given to Christians, people who claim to be Christians. I want you to listen to some of the responses. You answer this in your own heart. Here was one of the things said that they were to respond to. Here's the statement. Everyone is born innocent. Agree or disagree? Now think in your mind. Everyone is born innocent. Agree or disagree? 65% of those taking this survey agreed that everyone is born innocent. Here's the second question. The Bible is not literally true. Agree or disagree? 65% agree the Bible is not literally true. A third statement. God accepts worship from all religions. Agree or disagree? 56% agreed. And here's the saddest one. Jesus was a good teacher, but not God. Agree or disagree? 43% of the people taking this survey who claim to be Christians agreed that Jesus was not the Son of God. Now, girls, this is where we are in America today. In our generation, is the gospel good news? Well, what is the gospel anyway? Why don't we know what the Bible says? Why don't we believe in the authority of the word is? And here's the truth. The truth is, the gospel is really good news. But what makes it so good is when you realize the bad news first. So you have to hear the bad news first before the good news gets really good. So we're going to start with the bad news. Now, let's go back to that survey. Are babies really born innocent? I want you to go to Psalm 51 on your handout there. Here's what David said. Surely I was sinful when? At birth. Sinful from the time my mother conceived me. It's a sad, sad story for the human race. See, we started out in Genesis 1 and 2 with God creating a perfect world, and then he created the perfect couple, placed them in a perfect environment in the Garden of Eden. There was no sin, no conflict, perfect environment, perfect marriage. They were God's co-regents, ruling all of the creation, perfect relationship to their Creator. They walked with God every day. Everything was good. There was no bad in the world. And then Eve was deceived, Adam sinned, and they fell, and the curse came. And the curse was death and decay. I'm still mad at him. But here's the deal. He is the federal head of the whole human race. And when he was in the garden and he sinned, I don't know how, but in God's economy, in God's mind, the whole human race was in Adam. And so, he's our head, and when he sinned, we sinned too. He fell and died, and we now are dead as well. Melanie just had a new grandbaby, and she's not here today. I wish she was. Her name is Madeline Ray Lyon. Her big sister is named Isabella. They are just two of the most beautiful little girls. But you know what? They're little sinners. They are. I have the most wonderful grandchildren, but you know what? They're all a bunch of sinners. They are. I've seen it firsthand. The truth is, every one of us were born dead. We were born in sin. And you can't do anything to fix it. That's just the way it is. And every person born needs the good news of the gospel. Paul describes who we were in three powerful passages in Ephesians. I want us to look at it. Let's go to 2, 1 and 2. As for you, he said, you were born before you were saved. Now this is who you were before you were saved. You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. That's what your life was. Well, describe it to me. Well, you followed the ways of the world. And not only that, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, he was over you. He was your king. He was ruling you. And then he goes on to say, all of us also lived among them at one time. What were we doing? Well, we're just gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts, like the rest who were by nature deserving of wrath. Girls, you were dead. There's no way a dead person can rescue themselves, let me just tell you. And he goes on to say, we deserve wrath and punishment. Go to verse 12, same chapter. Paul says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise. You were without hope. You were without God in the world. And look at chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. Paul describes those apart from Jesus this way. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Without hope, without God, listen, ignorant, in darkness. And that's a sad reality. Every person is lost apart from Christ. We're spiritually dead apart from Christ. We're under God's wrath. We're without hope. And the sad part about it is we are totally incapable of fixing this and saving ourselves. Now, do you believe this morning? Girls, this is part of the gospel message. You have to admit you're a sinner. You have to see yourself as lost. You have to see yourself as apart from God. You have to see yourself as hopeless. So is this part of the good news? Well, it doesn't feel very good, does it? But once we understand the bad news, then here's the deal. It makes the good news even gooder. Because the gospel tells us, from Genesis 3:15, God promised he's going to send a seed. A seed that's going to rescue us from Satan. And he is available. And he has come to rescue those who are spiritually dead, those who are in darkness, those who are without hope, those who are lost. That's right where I was before I came to the gospel. And even though I was broken, I was sinful, I was rebellious, God made a way for me. Now go back to chapter 2 of Ephesians, and I love this word. Yes, all that was true, but then comes this three-letter word, but. But God, because of his great love for us, who is rich in mercy, he made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Now, I loved our lessons we had in the spring around Easter on the cross because they showed us just how serious our sin was. You don't play around with sin. Well, Teresa, I'm not so bad. Yeah, just one little sin is enough to send you to hell. Because what is God's standard? God's standard is perfect righteousness. Now let's think back to Romans 1. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. And it comes to you by faith as a gift. He gives you what you so desperately needs. I'm so thankful. I am so thankful. God saved me. Listen, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'll never die. I'm just going to go to sleep one day unless the Lord comes back. To be absent from the body, I'll be present with him in glory. And by the way, it looks like he's coming back soon. Lots is happening in the world. My heart is thrilled. God, thank you. Thank you for dealing with what I could never deal with, my sin. I couldn't deal with it. I couldn't fix myself. Did you ever try to fix yourself? I did. I couldn't fix myself. He came. He brought me the gift I needed, and it was righteousness. And now when God looks at me, he sees the righteousness of Christ because I'm in Christ. Now, I did not deserve it. That's why he says, but because of his great love, because of his mercy, he had mercy on me. I'm going to tell you, I'm never going to get over it. His standard, perfection, none of us can measure up. Look on your handout. I'll show you in the Bible. We all have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious ideal. Let me do it this way. That was the New Testament. Here is the Old Testament. This is sin. Okay, this is my sin. This is me. Here I am. And the Bible says this, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. But the Lord has laid on him, and this is Jesus, the iniquity of us all. I have no sin anymore. It's all been laid on him. Now that is good news. That is good news. Amen? And we need to rejoice. Jesus has paid our debt. And the result, I'm adopted. I'm in his family forever. I have his Holy Spirit. I'm not alone. He's in me. He's in you. Oh, I wish I had the words to really make the gospel as glorious and wonderful as it is. I feel it in my heart. I've experienced it. I know God. I have a relationship with him. We talk. This is a real thing, ladies. By the way, Judaism and Christianity are the only two religions in the world that teach that the God of the universe can be known personally. No other religion in the world gives that. God brought the solution. Now, Adam, first Adam, in Adam we all die. Jesus was the second Adam. So there are two federal heads in humanity. There's Adam, and either you're in Adam, and there's Jesus, or you're in Christ. Adam or Christ. Adam, all die. Christ, all live. You don't have to earn your way. It's not about being a good church girl, although if you're saved, you'll be a good church girl. But it's not about you trying hard to earn your way. It's about you trusting and believing in a person who's done the work on the cross for you and was raised again. But there's one more thing the gospel tells us. He's coming back. He's setting up a kingdom, an earthly kingdom. That's a whole nother Sunday school lesson. How am I ever going to get my want to stirred up so that I'll go into my world and I'll share the good news of the gospel? I think the main thing that's hard about sharing the good news is that first part, the bad news, where I have to come in and say, do you know you're a sinner? Do you know your need? Because you can't get saved unless you know you need it, right? Do I really believe it's good news? Do I really believe every person is lost apart from Christ? How do I see other people? This little saying was given to me one time on a little plaque. You'll either judge or love, but you can't judge and love at the same time. So if I go into my world and I'm judging all the time, oh, you're that kind of person, you're that. No, but if I go into my world loving, thinking you need the gospel, you need the gospel, I see why you're doing what you're doing, it's because you need the gospel. I can have compassion on people. Some people around us, they just seem to be doing so well and they're so happy and everything's working out for them. In many ways, their life seems to be better than mine. And I'm tempting to think, they don't really need the gospel, but they do. Are they lost apart from Christ? They are. Here are some ways to help our want to grow. Let's write a few things down and then we'll be done. Look for the gospel in every passage of Scripture you read and study. Because in Scripture, the Bible is really telling one story, the story of Jesus and our need for him. And every story of the Bible whispers his name. So look for the gospel as you read it. Number two, in your own life, regularly practice confession of sin. And you'll find you're personally experiencing the gospel over and over and over. I get saved. I'm not perfect. I still mess up. And I bring my neediness to God every day. I had to have grace at salvation. I have to have grace to live the Christian life. I need grace every day, don't you? It's the atmosphere we breathe. And I come to him day after day. Lord, I messed up again. I did that again. And I do John, 1 John 1:9. And God, He tells me there, He's faithful to cleanse me. And number three, real quickly, share stories of God's work in your life with one another. Every one of us is a miracle if you're born again. It's a miracle. And then four, seek to understand more fully those around you. We're surrounded by people who don't know Jesus. God's always working. Everyone has a story. Everyone has needs that only God can meet. Get to know people. Get to know their story. And as you do, your heart will grow for them and you'll have compassion and you'll want to share the gospel. Well, I have some small group activities, but I think I'm too late. So I'm going to have to save those for next time. But as we close this morning, here's my statement I want to make to you. Christianity is more than sitting on the sidelines. It is you getting in the game. It is you getting in the game. I can't think, okay, I want to get in the game. I'm just going to wait until I'm ready. And I'm strong enough, and I have the skills, and I'm mature enough, and I've got all these reasons why I can't get in the game. I'm just going to sit here and cheer you on. No, we got to get in the game. You're going to make blunders. It's okay. Go with a heart of compassion. Each day we miss incredible gospel opportunities. So if you want your want to increase, get in the game. You'll find as you start practicing it, your want to will grow. And you'll be living out your sent identity. And there Jesus is. And He's the good shepherd. And He's going after the one. He's leaving the others to go after the one. And He's asking you to do the same thing, to be sent. Two truths today. They will be on the test next week. The gospel is really good news, right? People truly are lost apart from Him. And unless they grasp the gospel, they will be lost forever. And your opportunity is to open up your mouth and share the gospel. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, I thank You for the challenge of this lesson. I pray that You would be, through Your Spirit, stirring up our hearts. Father, we should never come to Your word with a ho-hum attitude. Oh, I'm here again. Oh, ho-hum. No, God, Your word is thrilling. Your word is exciting. Your gospel is unbelievably good news. And the world is in terrible darkness. And You're calling us to be on mission for You in our worlds. And yeah, we don't feel ready. We feel inadequate. But God, I pray that we'll get in the game. I pray, Father, for You to give experiences this coming week for each of us to open our mouth and share the good news. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if that happens for you and you want to share a testimony next week, I'm going to let you. So go out, open your mouth, and share the gospel. And then get ready to come share. I hope I don't even have to teach. I mean, maybe we'll just have testimony time. Amen. I'm glad you're here. I'll see y'all next week. Oh, well, I'll just mention that.